You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Morning. Welcome to this week's edition of the Arab Bicycle Users Group radio show on 3CR Radical Radio. We're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. And thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of current affairs. My name's Chris, a little bit croaky, but I'm here putting the show together. And Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio, we're a show about bicycles, urban mobility, micro-mobility, getting around without a combustion engine, adventures, advocacy, and a whole bunch of things. And today is the 24th of August 2026. On today's show, I've got a bit of news and events and a catch-up interview with Kate Hall from Safer Murray Road, and we're talking about some of the things they've done and a parliamentary petition. Okay, first up, some good news. Cast your mind back a little while ago. There was going to be a Safer Streets trial go ahead for Princes Hill Primary. You might have seen that on your Say Yarra. Well, we've got the trial up. It's going to happen. And it's great because it's going to close parks, bit of Park Street and half of Wilson Street for cars for an 8-month pilot. And that's kind of great because on a more national focus, the Car-Free School Streets program is set to go national, and that's in the Brunswick Voice. And the Open Streets thing, that it was pioneered in Brunswick and Coburg, so that's another thing for the Inner North. Basically, kids can get around during that really conflicted little thing you may know about called school drop-off and pick-up times. And Marybrick Council last week launched a toolkit to help other councils and schools across Australia transform busy school streets into safer, more welcoming places for active travel, play and community connection. And I'll pop that into the podcast description. We had a talk put on last week by Bicycle Network for Marco de Brummenstrode. I got the name correct. And quite a few people went along to it. And a bit of a pricey of the Hill Hysteria theory is that the backlash comes from any proposal to move away from the way we use our streets from car dominance. It's funny because he described the different stages of it as we're furiously nodding along, almost imperfectly describing what happened we had here in Yarra with Wellington Street in Collingwood. And if politicians are brave enough to get through the Hill of Hysteria and implement changes within a small amount of time, those changes usually become loved by the community, who then won't want it to change back. When you bring people on board, the language matters, and talking about freedom and autonomy for children, healthy environments and safe streets means a lot more to people than urban planning bingo terms, which includes talking about bikes. And it was interesting to make that point at Bicycle Network, even though they're obviously receptive to it, and we should be looking beyond bike and transport people to build coalitions of people who care about health, children's autonomy, the environment, as everything is connected. And a bit more here about his overarching theory, which is also explored in his movement book, is that the system, which sees the purposes of streets as a way to effectively move people from A to B, whether that be in a car, bike or even walking, is broken. And we should actually be thinking about how to enjoy the streets as a public space. Now, back to public space, we might have a few things going on in Yarra, which is keep an eye on Elizabeth Street. They're back in Well, we've had a lot of history of Elizabeth Street, as you would know if you listen to the show. But the walk-ups down there were planned for demolition in July, and it looks like that might be kind of starting to happen now. So considering that our local council aren't particularly receptive to actually letting people know when things happen anymore, or are kind of reporting back to people when they do report, road obstacles, I think Homes Victoria are the people to speak to right now. Now, there's also a few things that from Yarrabug's perspective, you would know that, unfortunately, in Yarra, Lime bikes have disappeared from Yarra. And really, let's just put the line under it. We'd like to see the same level of scrutiny about obstructions. We don't want to see obstructions on footpaths. We don't want to see bad behaviour on footpaths. We would, and obstructions for people. Why don't we have the same level of scrutiny applied to wheelie bins and cars parking over your driveways and those things where they nudge into that very, very narrow spaces around the inner north and wherever you are of the footpath is supposed to be kept clear. You know, like the inner north, you would know that wheelie bin is absolute chaos. But again, that doesn't get slammed as much as a Lime bike rental scheme thing that went for 6 years and had 100 complaints over 6 years. Again, yes, it's almost a rounding error. And getting back to Lime bikes, Tuesday night, there's the shared e-bike/e-scooter scheme trial is up for discussion at Derebin Council this August the 25th. You would have seen that there's a whole bunch of virtual parking bays and painted parking bays around. So if you want to make a submission, go to the Derebin Council website, look up the meeting for the 25th. You should have the option there. I'll put some more details into the podcast description for that. But also, there's just a couple of more things, like we should be more effective in getting, those mode shift goals, dropping jargon there, and advocating for a statewide approach, like what they've done in New South Wales. Like New South Wales, they've done the geo blocking sort of stuff too, if I've got my terminology correct there. There's a whole bunch of things that are occurring. The really sad thing about taking Lime bikes out is that people really did rely upon them for that micro-mobility infill stuff where public transport or even time stuff, like for hospitality staff, shift staff, the whole thing. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, Yarra Council, for taking that away. And now there's kind of like a ring around City of Melbourne where people drop them. And yes, we can have better solutions, but some people just, don't want to think about the bigger thing of you have a whole bunch of different needs when making decisions for a local council, and just being a blanket ban, I think, is something that, again, like Elizabeth Street, like Wellington Street, like a lot of other things, that the decision has just been put off. It's not finished and it will be returned to. Okay, after the break, I'm going to be chatting to Kate Hall about a safer Murray Road.
Do you care about older people's housing? Are you keen to talk to politicians and your community about why housing for older people is important?
Then become a housing champion with Housing for the Age Action Group. The Housing Champions program will train older people to talk about housing leading up to the Victorian election in November this year. For more information and to register your interest, go to Housing for the Age Action Group's website, oldertenants.org.au, or call us on 03 9654 7389.
A 3CR supporter.
Today on Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio on 3CR Community Radio, I'm going to chat to Kat Hall. And we spoke a few years ago about Murray Road issues. Kat.
That's right. Thanks for having me on, Chris. And it's ongoing. Our group is getting bigger and bigger, a group of concerned locals. Since we spoke, there's been a couple of developments. One is a school speed zone was instituted on part of our area of concern. It's Murray Road, Coburg, but it extends to the west to Gaffney Street, along Gaffney Street to the Batman Station and the Upfield Path, which you'll be familiar with. And it extends a little bit over Elizabeth Street to the east, just to the point where the median strip starts. So our area of concern is generally 60K, four lanes, and no refuge in the middle, and blind crests, and a lot of vulnerable users. But anyway, yeah, school speed zone was instituted on part of the stretch. We managed to get that extended before it was established to at least go over the Merrie Bridge. So, and then the other development since then is an amazing member of our group has developed what we call the SWARM Incident Reporter. So SWARM is our acronym, Safer Walking and Riding for Murray Road. So the SWARM Incident Reporter is a website you can go to, and actually locals can actually submit incidents, crashes and near misses, and it's quite detailed information you can put on there if you have it, including photos. And then it shows a map. It's got a heat map, and it shows the numbers of incidents in certain areas along Murray Road, and also graphs showing the time they occur. Unfortunately, most of the crashes are actually occurring outside the school speed zone time frame, and also physically outside where the school speed zone is. They're mainly occurring in a stretch between Outlook Road and Elizabeth Street, which council actually deems an activity street. So technically, technically it's eligible to be 40K down that end, and that's actually where most of the crashes are happening.
So this is where like kids are walking and riding to school.
When we did our survey years ago, 350 or so respondents, most of the families who had children, they were attending Coburg High, Barry Beckett Children's Centre, and Newlands Primary. And down that end, we're talking about there is Barry Beckett, and then across the road, there's a maternal child health and also a kindergarten. But along the whole stretch, there's a lot of children moving around. There's several childcare centres that the families are taking their kids to on bikes. There's a massive amount of people with children on the back of bikes around here, and it's really shown over the years the vulnerable road user level has massively increased. For instance, Coburg High now has 1,400 or so kids, so it's grown since we last spoke. And the sustainable transport rate in the afternoon is 86%, which is massive. It's well over 50% for the walking and riding, and the rest is public transport. But of course, you've got to walk to the bus, so they're also, using the local roads. And a big proportion of them are 40% or so are crossing Murray or Gaffney to get to school. So a lot of children moving around the area.
Because we last spoke about the time of the Vulnerable Road Users Inquiry, and it was before the
Right.
report came out. Did you kind of like take any learnings from that?
That's a good question. I'll note that Coburg High, I'm also on their walking and riding committee. We presented as well. So they had the hearing that you attended as well in Coburg, because there was so many submissions from the Coburg area. So that was one thing. And the other was one of the committee members, opposition leader. She seemed quite alert to the issues. So I don't know if that's something to a positive to take away.
Are we talking about our now opposition leader? She was quite nice to us, but again, what happens with state politics at the moment? I think we're heading into one of the weirdest state elections ever.
Oh, and sorry, I should also say that our state MP for the area was on the committee as well. So, but yeah, as for actual outcomes, we'll see. Another change since we last spoke is that every arterial in the area now, except Murray Road and Elizabeth Street, we're the only arterial that currently doesn't have a speed limit reduction or a planned one on at least part of it. Even Sydney Road, where it intersects with Murray Gaffney, is going down to 40. Bell Street already has a 40 zone. Moreland Road is getting a speed limit reduction. And Melville Road, they've just announced that's actually all locked in. The speed limit reduction there will be 50. We're sort of the anomaly, and we're actually the one that unfortunately has a high rate of trucks going down from an industrial area up Newlands Road. They come down, they wreck the bridge over and over again, mounting the shared path and wrecking the bridge. Over the years, it's been fixed and wrecked and fixed and wrecked. And then at the Elizabeth Street end, when they turn the corner into Murray, they mount the shared path and wreck the infrastructure. So this road, there's an industrial estate that keeps growing, and quite a lot of the problematic trucks seem to be cement mixers, if that's the correct term, and they actually drop cement all over the road as well. So
Oh, great.
some drivers there.
Yeah, so is there any reason why they can't just move a little bit north and go out to the Western Ring Road, or sounds all too
Yeah,
hard for them?
it's a council thing as well, I guess, because council would be responsible for continually, giving approvals to expand this industrial estate, but it seems no consideration's given to the road outcomes. And unfortunately, DTP have said that 60K is appropriate for Murray Road. And so I don't know whether they're, thinking of the truck drivers and not thinking of all the children or what's going on there. But it's definitely an anomaly in the area at this point in time. We've actually produced a map that sort of shows that as well.
Rainbow United is a self-advocacy group that is run by and for LGBTQIA+ adults with intellectual disabilities and acquired brain injuries in Victoria. We get together online to fight for our rights, be in community, and support each other. We meet fortnightly on Zoom. Reach out to us by email at hello@rainbowunited.org.au or go to our website rainbowunited.org.au. You're welcome in our rainbow family, a 3CR supporter.
But on the positive side, you've started a parliamentary petition and a lot of community input into this.
That's right. It's, as I had mentioned to you, I did resist doing one of these for a long time because it's a little bit like busy work. But look, we've had successes with other campaigns with these petitions, and our state MP was happy to sponsor it, and it has been a really positive experience. The local MPs, the federal MPs actually, I think they've got a bigger budget for it, have done heaps of printing for us. We are on the verge of having letterboxed and distributed nearly 5,000 leaflets about the petition. The most heartwarming aspect has been it's nearly all families with young kids who've done all this work, all the letterboxing in the area, because they are the ones who are probably most afraid about, so, highly alert to the danger. So that's been really, really nice. And just on the subject of local children, Coburg High just shared the petition today on their social media. Newlands Primary is going to put it in the newsletter. Barry Beckett's already shared it. And they're so, and other childcare centres have got the leaflets on display and have probably shared as well, for all I know, local cafes. So, yeah, there's a lot of engagement in the community. And so, yeah, we're sitting at 958. It closes on the 31st of August, and obviously we're super keen to get to 1,000 and beyond. And I could say that all this information I've been talking about, the incident reporter and our previous survey and this petition, they're all on our website, which is Safer Murray Road, the full word Murray, safermurrayroad.com.
And the petition itself, I'll just quickly read out what the issue is. Petition is residents Thanks. Of Victoria to draw attention to Legislative Assembly about the stretch of road, Murray Road and Gaffney Street between St George, is it George Street, Preston? And
George.
Upfield shared path at Batman Station, Coburg, which is the most hazardous stretch in Melbourne's north. This corridor is a high-risk arterial, which is experienced as hostile by the many vulnerable road users. And to clarify, it is four undivided 60 km/h lanes, blind crests and curves produce a serious injury crash rate of more than 150% higher than the parallel Bell Street.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah, we've got twice the number of crashes and twice the crash rate per kilometre driven. So it's dangerous for all users. It's dangerous for drivers as well. It's a high crash rate. And yeah, it is insane. And actually, when you mentioned high risk row, we got that wording from council actually, because Marybeck Council, in their advocacy priorities in the lead up to the state election, they have Murray Road as their number one for the road safety portion of their advocacy. And they actually pointed out, you know, they called it a high risk arterial. Quite appropriate terminology. So the whole community and the council are all behind it, and it's been a long process.
Because yeah, the second part of this is residents have documented 30 crashes in 2025 and at least 10 more in early 2026. And this corridor is used by children walking and cycling to local schools and childcare centres, yet it has no protected bike lane or median refuges, so that pedestrians must cross four lanes of fast traffic. Because we've shared plenty of photos of this over the years of like just how narrow that footpath up there is.
And up by the lake. For listeners who don't know the area, it's between Pentridge and Coburg Lake, that portion you're talking about. And that path is a shared path. It is unbelievably narrow. And we've had so many cars crashing across that path through the barrier towards the lake. It's very scary crossing there. And another little bit of background we've probably covered in the past, but it used to be a two-lane road. And extra lanes were added in 2011 with no consultation with council. They had hoped to put a bike path through there. So obviously we want more space for all users. We want reallocation of space. And that does require it going back to being chiefly one lane each way. Obviously at the intersections, that's different. Chiefly one lane in each direction so that you can then have space, maybe, you know, median strips or median refuges and bike paths, trees maybe.
Are you a current 3CR subscriber? Your membership helps us stay true to our community values.
It enables us to produce over 100 local shows each week, train and support new volunteers and broadcasters, and maintain our transmission technology.
Your subscription helps us cover issues important to you, like public housing, First Nations justice, community languages,
advocacy for Palestine, celebrating queer and trans communities, and bringing you the best of local independent music.
As we head into our 50th year of broadcasting, your ongoing subscription is as vital to the station today as it was for those subscribing in 1976.
Help to keep 3CR unique by becoming a subscriber today.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
Go to the parliamentary thing, which is parliament.vic.gov.au. Look for the Get Involved with the petitions there, or you can just search for a petition, say, for Murray Road.
That's right. Or you can just go onto our website. We've got a link there as well.
You want to get 1,000, and I'm looking at it today, and it's up to 961.
It's gone up a few since I last looked. That's good.
Excellent. So some of the stories you've got from people over the little while of just simply trying to get around their area, just walking and riding, can you share any stories there?
I recently spoke to Sevens at Coburg High. It was nice to be invited by one of the teachers to speak to. I just can't remember the subject. It was a sort of a civics type subject. Fortunately, one of the students said that she had been hit crossing. There's a crossing we call the pool crossing, and that near Coburg Olympic swimming pool, and it's where they cut through and through Pentridge to get to the high school, and others use it as well. And she was hit on the way to school on her bike. I haven't been able to get any more details about that, but that was very, you know, that was just this year. A lot of fear and near misses. It's very obvious to see the increased numbers of children in the area. Newlands Primary used to be only 70 kids when my daughter was there 15 years or so ago now, and I think it's pushing 400 or more now. Coburg High has grown, and you can just see, you can see the school students, but you can also, as I said, you can see the parents with their children on the back of the bikes. It's a neighbourhood with all ages, and it is hostile to those people as they're moving around.
Well, there's only so much the local council can do at Merribeck. It's time for the state government to pick it up, because it's a changing area and we've got to have different infrastructure. And like, as you said, I think in one of your previous shows we discussed it, of the machinations around how it became four lanes up there.
So, yeah, the history of it was that, so when we got then Vic Rhodes to come out and meet with us the first time, the woman undertook to go away and find out why on earth they had added the lanes. And the formal response, the official line, was that they added the lanes because when it was wider and just two lanes, the driving was dangerous and people would pass on the inside. So I think they thought adding extra lanes would help control the dangerous driving, whereas all it's done is bring it within millimetres of the narrow shared path.
It's a bit stupid, really, isn't it?
Yes. Council did, we've seen the letter. We've had two community meetings over the years, well attended, and at one, a local resident who'd been on this case for years, poor thing, getting bumped around from council to the department, he showed us a letter that he showed us the letter council had written and the response from Vic Rose. Council were very unhappy about the extra lanes added. They not only had they wanted to put a bike path in there, they pointed out that it was sort of an odd move because to the east and the west, the corridor is two lanes. So you've just got this one section that's four lanes. So it's just a bit pointless. It's just made it more dangerous.
What were the traffic engineers thinking? Yeah, it's a second show in a row. I get to use Simpson's quote, we've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas. Anyone see those photos or actually use that footpath up on Murray Road, it's diabolically stupid because of like the crash risk and the whole bunch of things. As you know, you don't want bad outcomes. You don't want to be recording crashes.
No, well, that's it. Yes, if anyone goes and looks at our incident reporter or scrolls back on our Instagram, it's easier on Instagram than Facebook, you can just see that there's been some horrific accidents. It's actually sheer luck there hasn't been a death. Someone's lost a leg, sadly, but it's just sheer luck.
That's life-changing enough.
Everything's probably on the website. Our email address will be there too. So it's probably easier if I just say one address, which is Safer Murray Road. So that's ROAD, not RD, safermurrayroad.com. Or they can message us on Instagram or Facebook. Yeah, we do have an email address, safermurrayroad@gmail.com. This grassroots activism for safer roads is made a bit harder by the minister changing all the time. So we have the new roads minister is Paul Hamer, and I note the active transport portfolio is gone. So now we are in the process of writing to a new minister.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.